I am not a pro speaker, so I'm slightly nervous. It's been many years since I've gotten up in front of a group of people and many years since I used a microphone. So I'm trusting that God's going to speak through me today and that it'll be a blessing to you. I do have my notes, so I'm going to try to not just read them. Probably as I get more comfortable, I'll maybe look at them less. What I'm going to share today is based around Psalm 16, and we're going to look in depth at verses 5 and 6. What we're going to see is that God has given to each of us a lot. Think perhaps of the property lines around a house or a piece of property that that you own that dictate what is yours and what is not, what might be your neighbor's. The lot that God gives us is the area or the circumstances or the opportunities that we have in our life to steward for his glory. Our lot may include blessings or struggle, or perhaps both. And the lot that each one of us has been given is different, and it's unique from the lots that he has given to others. But when we focus too much on what we have or we don't have by comparing our lot with the lots of others, we become discontent, and we struggle with what God has given to us. But as we talk through things today, I hope that we see that the best place for us to be is always within the boundary lines of what God has given to us. I'm just going to take a minute to pray, and then we're going to read Psalm 16. Lord, thank you for this morning, for all the ladies who've come out this morning. I know many of them may have been rushing out the door. Maybe their morning was organized, or maybe there was spilled milk on the floor, and it was a rush, hustling their kids into the car and getting them checked into childcare. Lord, but we thank you for the good food this morning, the children downstairs and the workers who are taking care of them, so we can have some time just to breathe and focus on you and hear what you have for us this morning. Lord, I ask that you would guide my words, that what I would say would be of you, that you would remove anything that is not of you, and that we would honor you. In your name, amen. If you have a Bible or you want to look it up on your phone, I'm going to take a minute and just read through Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think this psalm as a whole is telling us that if God is the one that we choose above all others, then we have no good apart from him. He is our refuge and our Lord. He is our chosen portion. He holds our lot and he instructs us and counsels us. We're assured of a beautiful inheritance that includes security, gladness, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. If we look just at verses 5 and 6, the NIV says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The ESV says it a little bit differently. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. When I was looking up to find some information and background on these two verses, I found an article by John Piper on the Desiring God website that was called The Path to Full and Lasting Pleasure, and he had some really good thoughts. He says of verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and cup, you hold my lot, that if we choose Jesus over all others, then he alone is our greatest good and our greatest treasure. Gotta follow my notes. Whatever we have comes from him, and he is master and sovereign over our lot. He decides it, and he rules over it. And we don't just affirm it, we exult in it. And verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a beautiful inheritance. He says that because God holds our lot, the boundary lines for us are in pleasant places. And he makes a comment that the lines could be literal or figurative. Interesting, literally, the word used for pleasant places is a single word in Hebrew that means pleasures. This is the same word that's used at the bottom of that Psalm 16 and verse 11 that says that your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the translation of verse 6 could be, the lines have fallen for me in pleasures. Surely I have a beautiful inheritance. Piper goes on to say in that article that the pleasant places may not just mean, at that time, good acreage in Palestine, or for you in Sterling or Ashburn, but the place at God's right hand is where the pleasant places are, as verse 11 says. Then I love what he says about this verse. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. He says, your sovereign goodness has fenced me in to God himself, and the borders of my life are boundaries around where God is. And when he says, I have a beautiful inheritance, what he means is our inheritance is God. God is our inheritance, and he is beautiful. God is the sovereign one who holds my lot, and he uses his power to make himself my beautiful inheritance, to fence me in to the pleasure of knowing him, to be where he is. He makes himself my treasure. So the best place for us to be is always within the boundary lines of the lot that God has given to us. If the border lines of our life are around where God is, as Piper puts it, then isn't that where we want to be where God is, to be where he's directing us and protecting us and using us and growing us and shaping us, where the Holy Spirit is working in the deepest parts of me and speaking truth to me? That is what I want, to be within God's boundary lines. But practically, with my sin nature, I don't always want that. My sin and my pride make me feel very discontent with the boundaries that God has put on my life. And I struggle a lot when I look at the lots that other people have been given and I compare mine. Let me tell you a little bit about what I'm working with. I have a friend, I will not name her, whose house always looks like nobody lives there. The inside and the outside of the house are decorated for each holiday and season with themed wreaths and porch pillows and shelf decorations, and everything is in its place. Each seasonal item gets put away at the end of its appointed time in a carefully labeled bin and stacked in her storage room, and the next seasonal one is brought out. When I visit and I go home to my house, I feel very discontent. I still have spring wreaths on my door, and it is December. There are dirty socks on my stairs. There are more dirty socks in a pile by the door to the basement. There are big, muddy, dirty man footprints all over my porch. There are crumbs on the table and piles of laundry. And I think, why am I not organized and detailed and energetic enough to keep my house in order? And I feel discontent. I have another friend who has 7 children. Her house is open all the time to whoever wants to come at any time. She has tons of dirty socks all over the stairs. She has crumbs all over her table, and she doesn't care at all. She welcomes everyone in. When I leave and I go back to my quiet house and I think about how lovely her open door policy is, even though that would make me twitch if I thought that people were going to show up unexpectedly at my house at any moment, I feel discontent. Then I'm not more flexible and able to offer that kind of hospitality to others. I have another friend who moved to a new city for her husband's job with her 4 children, who were then age 6, 3, 2, and 6 months. In the first year, she unpacked, organized, and decorated her whole home, started an Etsy shop, began her master's degree, and worked at a crisis pregnancy center. I think the world of her, but there are twinges of discontentment in my heart because I feel like, for me, it is a monumental task just to get the laundry done and figure out what is for dinner. I feel discontent that I am not that high functioning. I have a friend who gets up to run 6 miles every morning. She makes all homemade meals, plays for hours outside with her children, and seems to always be organized and on top of everything. She rarely seems stressed or flustered. I feel discontent because I cross one item off my to-do list today and then I just move the rest to the next day. Then this is the time of year that the Christmas cards arrive. With all the gorgeous family members on the beach with matching white t-shirts and hair blowing in the wind. Here come the twinges of discontentment again. The last few years, I did not even send out a Christmas card because if I try to get my family to pose for pictures, I get so stressed out that my boys need haircuts, no one has matching clothes, and I anticipate how gross I'm going to look with all the gray hair popping out and my extra pounds that I am miserable and I make everyone stressed. We are all sweating and snapping at one another, and then we just never take the picture. And I feel really discontent. Although, if you are planning on sending me a Christmas card with your hair blowing on the beach, I do want it, and I will enjoy yours. These are kind of funny examples, but maybe you relate. Maybe you're like the organized friend in my examples, who's energetic and high-functioning and goal-oriented. Or maybe you always feel like your days are a chaotic bit of craziness, and you drop into bed at night, struggling with feelings of failure. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, I imagine you deal with some amount of discontent about the lot that you've been given. There's so many things that we struggle, whoop, fell off the chair. There's so many things that we struggle with as women and wives and mothers and friends. We see the things that other people are doing or experiencing, and we wish that we had a different lot. If it's not the state of your house or your holiday decorations or the success of your Christmas card picture, it might be that you're struggling with your baby's sleep routines or development, your children's behavior, your marriage or your husband's spiritual leadership, your financial situation, schooling for your kids, your spiritual gifts or how God is using you, how you would like him to use you, your exercise routine or your appearance, how fulfilled you are working outside the house or at home full-time with children. The list goes on. We're discontent because of the things that we feel bound by or limited by, or we feel that we're lacking something. We really end up not stewarding well what we have because we're wishing we had something different. But the best place for us to be is always within the boundary lines of the lot that God has given to us. So what do we do? How do we grow from a place of discontentment with our lot to one of joy? Let's go back and read the verse again from Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Again, it's telling us that if we follow Jesus, then God is the one who provides. He designs and he directs our life. He chooses for us our lot and he gives it to us to steward. He places the boundary lines around it to hem us in a sense. If we believe that God is good, then the boundary lines he places around us are not to frustrate us or annoy us or hold us back. They're there for our pleasure, for our good and our protection. And God wants us to steward our lot well with obedience and joy. But I don't tend to define my boundary lines as pleasures. I define them as annoying, as frustrating and burdensome. But when I allow this perspective to take hold, I let how I feel or what I'm experiencing dictate how I view God, instead of letting what I know is true about God dictate how I view my circumstances. God directed me to this verse a few years ago when I was really struggling with my lot. I felt a sense of lack in so many areas, and I was really frustrated with where I was. The concept of God giving us a lot or a portion with boundary lines around it, ordered by him, really challenged me to change my perspective. And I've been thinking about it and chewing on it for a few years. Here's a practical example of what this has looked like in my life and how I'm working on changing my perspective to come to a place of joy. Am I talking too fast? Okay. I ran cross country and track in high school and in college, and I was always up for a physical challenge. I was able to do most things that I wanted to do, run a half marathon, swim a mile, hike a mountain, water ski. I was adventurous. I studied in Spain, and I traveled around Europe with a backpack on my back, sleeping in trains and hostels. After college, I went to Argentina to work with Campus Crusade and College Ministry, and while we were there, we traveled all around the country, slept overnight on buses, stayed up all night with students, and built up a college ministry that, praise the Lord, is still going today. At that time in my life, I was pretty content with the lot God had given me. There were hard moments, but I loved the challenges, the adventures, the relationships, the way that God was using me, and the way he was expanding my lot. But after returning from the mission field and getting married, I got pregnant and had hyperemesis. I don't know if you all are familiar with that. It's a condition during pregnancy where morning sickness really just means all-day sickness, to the point where you cannot stop throwing up. I lost weight instead of gaining and was dehydrated to the point of needing IVs and hospital stays. It was not a fun time. Although we were able to find a chemo med that helped me to stop the vomiting at about 5 months into the pregnancy, and I forced myself to eat to gain weight, I went into preterm labor and ended up on bed rest. I did, praise the Lord, have a healthy and strong baby who is now 16, 6'2", and throws the shot put. But I never really felt the same after that, and a long road of health struggles began. After my third child, I went really, really downhill physically, and I was struggling to make it through the day. I was finally diagnosed with Lyme and some other infections, but Lyme is a really hard one because it affects people so differently, and if it isn't caught early, it really does a number on your body physically and neurologically. I was sleeping 10 hours a day, 10 hours at night, and 2 hours during the day. I was stumbling over my words and stuttering, having brain freezes where I would just go blank for a period of time. I had a headache all the time and often had vertigo. I began Lyme treatments that were so intense that I wasn't able to exercise anymore because I had no energy. Over the past 10 years, I've tried numerous things to help the Lyme, and some have helped a bit and others have not helped at all. At this point, I would say I'm functional and I can get through the day as long as I take a nap, but I rarely feel well or energetic. Over time, and as the kids have gotten older, I've learned to pace myself and make choices that best allow the necessary things to get done. Sometimes I'm in bed for a day or two, but with older kids who can help me and each other, those days don't usually bring the whole family crashing down like they used to. Along with the physical struggle, though, the mental, emotional, and spiritual struggle of sort of losing myself to Lyme has made me really have to seek what the Lord's asking of me at this stage in my life, and to think about how I perceive the lot that God has given me. It's not the lot God's given to my friends, and it's often not the lot that I want. And I find myself often pushing and straining against the boundary lines. I question God's goodness and his purpose, and I think, wouldn't I be more useful to God in service of his church if I had a lot of energy? I could get so much more done in a day if I didn't have to take a nap. My house would be clean, and I could go back to work. Maybe I'd even open an Etsy shop. But if the best place for us to be is always within the boundary lines of the lot God has given us, then how do we get to a place of not just acceptance of that, but of joy? How do we view the boundary lines as pleasures? This is what I've been thinking about and learning. We pray. We read God's word. We remind ourselves of God's promises. We ask those around us to point us to Jesus when we're struggling with discontentment or comparison. We take stock of our lot, what God has given to us, and we ask God to show us what he's doing there where we are. We confess our sin and our pride of wanting a different lot and ask God to move us to a place of joy with what we've been given. We have to ask him to change our perspective. When I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a book by Anne Voskamp called 1,000 Gifts. I don't know if you all have read it. I would recommend it. As I recall, she was a pastor's wife, and she lived on a farm and had a bunch of children. She writes about how she was feeling bogged down by the many demands of each day, and she was grumbling and muttering as she went along the day. But she believed in her heart that God was good, and she realized that her perspective was quite off. So she started writing a list of all the blessings, big and small, that she saw through her day. She replaced her grumbling with thanks, and she kept adding to the list. God kept showing her more and more things in her lot to be thankful for, and she decided to aim to write down 1,000. She reached that number and kept going, and then obviously she wrote a book. She began to delight in her routine and the never-ending tasks of each day. As she noticed the flowers outside, or she heard a bird sing, or heard one of her children laugh, she's a wonderful example of changing the lens through which she was seeing her God-given lot. By God's grace, she was able to see her boundary lines as pleasures. And she realized not just intellectually, but practically, that the best place for us to be is always within the boundary lines of the lot that God has given to us. What he chooses for us and places in our lot is for our good, and the boundary lines are for our protection and for our pleasure. He knows better than we do what we need and what may be outside our lot that we're eyeing, but he knows is not best for us. Maybe those things would lead us to pride or self-reliance, or take us to a place where, in a sense, God is not. I'm coming to the point by God's grace of accepting the lot and the boundary lines God has given me, and I'm beginning to ask God how he wants to use me with what I can do. I'm looking around to see where God is and what is he doing. For me right now, this means pacing myself and taking a nap so I can be, what I say, present and pleasant and a blessing to the people in my home. It means simply doing the laundry and figuring out what is for dinner and driving my children all over the universe. I try to pray while I clean, and I connect with my children when they're trapped in my car with me. I take quieter moments to read, to pray, or to listen to and pray for and connect with a friend. And I help care for my parents who are getting older and struggling. I'm teaching my children how to be considerate and compassionate and kind, and to look for the same thing. What is God doing where they are? In the world's eyes, I do have limited time and energy. I do spend a lot of time in my bed. I have limited financial resources, limited bandwidth and brain power, but in God's economy, I'm trusting that all of that can be multiplied. And ultimately, I have already been given everything that I need, and so have you. Not only is my daily practical life fenced in and directed by God, but my ultimate lot has already been defined. My delightful inheritance is assured. I've been given eternity with Jesus as my ultimate lot. And he himself, the person of Jesus, is my treasure and my greatest gift. He makes my lot secure. If we can think about our daily lot in light of our eternal lot, it dramatically changes our perspective. I'm reminding myself that often what we want is not what we need. And it's in the hard times and when I feel that something is lacking that I grow and that Jesus becomes bigger and I become smaller. And that Jesus, as my treasure, becomes more clear. The boundary lines are seeming more like pleasures because that is where God is. It's a growing process, and we are not going to do that perfectly, but I'm going to end with a beautiful example of one who has accepted his lot and stewarded it perfectly, not just with acceptance, but with joy. I'm going to read from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was given a specific lot, and God had defined his boundary lines very clearly. He was given a certain number of years to teach and to minister and develop his disciples and to fulfill the mission God had given to him. His mission ended with an excruciating task. And although at one point of deep stress and grief, Jesus asked if perhaps he could have a different lot, he submitted to what God had for him on the cross, and he did it for the joy set before him. He was focused on that eternal lot, being seated at the right hand of God with pleasures forevermore. His understanding of his eternal lot enabled him to steward his earthly lot in a way that glorified God. And so, if we too are to glorify God with our lot, we have to look at Jesus not only as our example, but also as the one who enables us to glorify God by his enabling power. And as we move into Christmas time, it's a wonderful time to think about God's gift of Jesus to us. As you're wrapping your gifts and cleaning your house and folding your laundry over the next couple weeks, take some time to thank God for his gift of Jesus. Ask him to show you where you're straining against the boundary lines in your life or grumbling about your lot. Ask him to show you where he's working and where he's moving in your lot and how you can join him there where he is. Ask him to grow you in your thankfulness and help you to change your perspective where it's needed so you can view your daily lot in light of what you know to be true about your eternal lot. And ask him to grow you in your understanding, your acceptance, and even joy that the best place for us to be is always in the boundary lines of the lot that God has given to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this morning, and I hope that what I said wasn't said too fast in nervousness, and it was clear. The elements of that you are speaking your truth, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us here to process through and think through the things that you might have sparked in our spirit. As we move into a time of celebration of the gift of your son, Jesus, pray that you would help us to really seek where we are straining against what God has given to us and what he believes is for our best. Lord, would you help us to see where you're working, and would you give us the motivation and the desire to join you there? Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to a place of thankfulness, to change our perspective if we need it, and that you would enable us to see the boundary lines that you've placed around our lot as pleasures. Thank you that we can trust you, that our eternal lot is secure because you sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin, and that when he died on the cross, he paid for everything that we have ever done or ever will do wrong, and that when he raised from the dead, he triumphed over sin and death in the grave, and he paved a way for us to have that relationship with you. That alone is all we need. Anything extra is just so much grace. Lord, I pray that during this season, you would help us to have thankful hearts, kind hearts, and as we look around at what other people are doing, that you would remind us of what you have asked us to do, and that we would find pleasure in that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was going to ask you guys to clap for Katie, but you did it already. Thank you.